NFL podcast. Uses beard products.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, coming to you from a stadium filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
It is that time.
Every year, without fail, late February,
the scientists go into the lab and they stay in the lab. Not for days, not for weeks, months. And when they come upstairs, you see the toll of the battle as they fought to make a list together, not as combatants, allies. And when they were done, they held it up high. The top 101 free agents of 2020.
So stupid.
They did it. They did it. Boys, how was the exercise this year?
All of that just to put Graham Glasgow at number 44.
It was better because Wes insisted this year while we were down in the lab to play that Jaws theme on repeat for months.
Did you say Jaws?
I think you mean 2001 Space Odyssey.
I mean 2001 brain fart there. Little John
Born William age 32, trying to be human there, and it backfired.
We've been in Indianapolis too long already. This conversation actually will be the first, I think, that we had about this top 101 list.
We never spoke about it.
Are you at the Beatles late period, like Let It Be era, where you're going into the studio and laying down your individual parts, and then it's up to the producer to kind of put it all together and make it seem like you're actually a functional unit?
I would say that's an apt analogy.
Well, I would say that was always it. All it is we make a top 100 list and then our editors, combine the two lists. We did used to kind of talk through once they were together if we wanted to make some corrections. But now it's like we're that much closer to death. And do we need to use that time to move guys up one or two? Let's just let the math take care of it for us.
So does this mean that Ali Bunpuri is your Phil Spector?
Yeah.
Wow. That checks out.
And he lets us know if we missed anyone.
He truly deserves the credit
We break ties.
Phil Bunpuri.
Please. I mean.
Please.
So if you haven't heard this show before, this special, we've done it a couple of years now, and if you haven't, more importantly, read the top 101 free agents of 2020, you could check it out at NFL.com/
top 101 free agents.
Top 101 free agents. Top 101 feels like a better vanity URL, but again, I don't make these decisions. Phil Spector does. Phil Spector makes bad decisions sometimes, as we've learned.
He's been known.
So check that out, and it's a great list, and Mark and I, a little bit later on, are going to reveal our top 101.
Nice.
It'll be the 6 minutes that I speak during this episode.
So stay tuned for that.
That's where the Jaws music comes in.
I don't know why I said Jaws.
So it's something of a mini pod. We'll get right into it now. And gentlemen, your list, which for the record begins with Dak Prescott, but right off the top, you weren't in lockstep on that, were you?
We weren't. Wes had Chris Jones number one.
I did. I approached it a little bit differently this year. There's always that question when you're making this list. Do you do it by what you're trying to predict the teams will value, or do you do it by who's the straight-out better player? And to me, Chris Jones was the best player available in free agency.
And I love Chris Jones. I love putting him second on my individual list. And I have checked out some of the other sites out there. I was shocked ESPN didn't have him in their top 15, which is just a sign that that's wild.
Chris Jones is in the top 15.
In one list I saw on ESPN, that is correct, on their insider list.
Are they factoring in that they assume he'll just be
retained? No, I don't know. I just think it was a bad list. But I've seen a couple others, and he's generally in the top three or four. And to me, he was the clear best position player. I do my rankings most of just like who I think has the most value. And so I do move quarterbacks up significantly. And I think you must to some degree too, Wes, because you put Dak Prescott number two overall, and there's some other really great players on the list. But that was one big difference, and I was going through our individuals, is that I weighted quarterbacks a lot more heavily in terms of giving them value that they play quarterback, because quarterback is more valuable than other positions. Like an average quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, to me, has a lot of value.
Yeah, I get that. And quarterbacks are important. There's no denying that. To me, I struggle with the older guys because I just don't want an old quarterback in today's NFL. It's a different league than it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You can't get away with a statue in the pocket, a Stone Age pony, as Mark likes to say.
By the way, Greg, I just want to say, savvy move right out of the gate to go to another media, giant media house who creates a list of their own and just absolutely destroy it.
I'm just saying one thing I noticed that seemed a little crazy. Chris Jones,
ESPN, arrow down.
For a little context, since we're talking about the Stone Age ponies, Drew Brees came in at 15 on this list. Tom Brady all the way down at 17.
You know Phil Spector loved that. I mean, that's a spicy thing you can sell the article with, and they did.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, fourth-ranked QB, is in the headline.
Oh, my God.
Phil Rivers at 23.
It's so predictable.
Well, if you remember when the old Zeuser took Tom Brady out of the Superstar Club, that's how they played it as well. Brady moves units or generates clicks when you speak critically of him. So you can't get on Spector for that.
No, and it was really Wes that put them lower. I had Philip Rivers 13th, Wes had him 32nd, I had Tom Brady 9th, and Wes had him 27th. So the average is that's how it worked out. But I don't.
Chris Sims gave you guys a little what for.
Oh, really?
A little bit.
Don't
on
care.
Twitter.
What was now I'm going to have to look
up. What, in what sense?
It was kind of a backhanded compliment in the sense that here more football people, I respect putting Tom Brady too low, something along those lines.
Don't care.
Tell me why you don't care, Wes.
It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
What
it doesn't matter what Chris Sims says about our list. It just doesn't matter. Mm.
But you like it, though. You like people engaging.
I don't care.
I like
it. It's wrestling time, Wes.
I didn't know that.
I put in more work than Chris Sims did on this piece, so I don't care.
I like it.
One reason that I don't put too much into it is Chris.
Did I have it right, by the way? The general vibe.
Yeah, you're right. He said two smart people. He complimented us, ranking Tannehill ahead of Brady. So that was a thing he didn't like. I question, is Chris Sims running this account?
Oh,
let's just keep taking people down. We're friends with his.
I just don't know. He's a big time star. He's got producers that could do things.
Welcome
for him.
World War III.
We don't even know.
Oh, I would think he constructed that tweet on his own, Greg. That is a tad cynical.
I like Chris Sims. I think he does good work, but I don't care whether anyone's running his account or not. Here is the top 10 of the list. Okay, it's Dak Prescott at 1. Chris Jones at 2, Amari Cooper 3, Jadeveon Clowney at 4, Shaq Barrett at 5, Yannick Ngakoue at 6, Justin Simmons at 7, Ryan Tannehill at 8, interesting, Byron Jones at 9, Eric Armstead at 10. So out of the top 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 10 are defensive players. So defensive needy teams have some blue chip options to hunt for next month.
And some of those guys will get tagged, like Shaq Barrett, Ngakoue. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Well, can I ask you, I looked at your top 10, which we just read off, and I tried to find the first player I thought that would wind up on a different team. And for me, it was Byron Jones at number 9. I thought that it's logical, and it seems every year the top 15 is just like eliminated because most of them stay home. But
I think Armstead, what number was he?
10.
He was 10, and Wes had him high, and I like that. Clowney is the other one. I think Clowney and Amari Cooper both have better than 50-50 chances of leaving, and Clowney I would put it quite high because he can't be franchise tagged, and 32 teams are going to be bidding. Seahawks want pass rushers, but I just don't know if they'll be the top one. And I think the Cowboys might lose Amari Cooper. There's this weird assumption that he's going to come back. Why? You're going to be bidding against 31 teams.
Because they want him. I mean, that's
but they don't have all the money in the world,
right,
and there's one team. It only takes one team to make him the highest-paid player ever at receiver, and I think that could happen.
Here's the other bit of logic. The Cowboys, as we know, as we've been talking about, have some really difficult decisions to make, and you see it right on this list. They could go the route, and I don't think it would be necessarily the best one, but they might find it to be the necessary evil to get things under control cap-wise, is to go let Cooper go and then invest in one of these hotshot wide receivers and draft class full of them and hope they hit on somebody that could become an instant guy with Dak.
Mike McCarthy spoke just before we got in here, and you know, maybe this means nothing, but he emphasized that he wanted – Cooper there, absolutely, next year. No doubt about it.
He did.
And Cobb. He wants Randall Cobb.
He had this one comment where he said it looked like Amari Cooper was really in sync with Dak, and Randall Cobb, who he lauded and he coached before, of course, I'd say even more in sync with Dak. So
is Cobb
that
on this
makes
list?
You wonder, he's on the list, much lower down, but it makes you wonder if they see Cobb as a cheaper option. It's obviously
they
a very
play different position.
Very different play. I'm just saying – why
Dak's not even in the top 10 on this list if Amari Cooper never gets traded to Dallas.
Ooh.
That's saucy.
I mean, it's true. Look at his numbers with and without Amari Cooper.
I just think someone could – why wouldn't Amari Cooper, I guess, make the most money in wide receiver history? I know he's not the greatest wide receiver in NFL history, but that's just how it happens when you get to free agency. It's so rare someone that young, that good – and the cap is going way up, and we don't know about.
Wouldn't you rather play for the Cowboys at $20 million than like the Bengals at $23 million or something?
I mean, if it was the Bengals, yes, but there's a lot of teams I think he could find attractive, and I think he might make $25-30 million. I don't even know; it might be wild.
Cycling back to the Stone Age pony quarterbacks and Philip Rivers at 23 every year. I play a little game guessing who wrote the blurb, Greg or Wes.
Oh, I think we know who wrote this one.
And then I play a game within a game. It's called Bet Your Life on the Blurb.
Okay.
And I'm going to bet my life that Wes wrote the Philip Rivers blurb for number 23. Wes, would you mind reading it for the audience?
Check La Brea for contagion, like a horsefly stuck to rosin paper or a mastodon mired in the infamous tar pits. Rivers' furious flat-footed flailing only served to hasten the end of his storied Chargers career. No longer possessed of the quick jump step or strong arm necessary to compensate for an overwhelmed offensive line, Rivers is reliant upon a deep moat to sharpshoot from the castle tower. Look for Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni to coax their old quarterback to Colts Kingdom.
I love doing
that. That is a beautiful blurb.
It was amazing.
Thank you. Very enjoyable read overall this entire
I love this article because I get half the credit for all of Wes's great writing. I just like my write-ups. Mark sent a nice text. Oh, great job on all the write-ups. And I wanted to send back, like, all the good ones are Wes's.
Hold on, though, Greg. I will say this.
Mine are perfunctory.
Anyone that reads both of you a lot will also identify some of yours where you've got you drop some hammers and little shoot some arrows through people in a very Greg Rosenthal
I mean, Greg was
type
fishing
way.
For that compliment. You gave
no,
it to
I,
him.
I'm
saying, it's not
I,
like,
I meant
it's not like
it.
Half
I
of them
it.
Are readable and the other are just,
no,
you know,
the,
floating
the others
garbage.
Are good. The let's, others are good.
Let's get back on track. Mark, what's something that jumped out to you when you went through this top 101?
Well, I look at someone like Corey Littleton, and he came in where? It was, I believe, came off an awesome season.
16.
And it's sitting at 16. And I think that's a very fair place to put it. But my question is, when you look at Corey Littleton, and I think he's going to have a lot of interest because he's versatile, he can do it all, and there's not a lot of players at that position that can do what Corey Littleton did last year. Do you think that he can go to any team and be that kind of player, or was that partly because of fit where he was with the Rams?
I think he can go to any team because I think he's the linebacker you want in 2020, where he is awesome in coverage. He can hang with scat backs. He can hang with tight ends. And he's rangy. And like Greg said in the blurb, which is well written, he also is one of the best special teamers in the league.
He has a skill set that hasn't been as valued. I do wonder if he'll help improve that market, like these off-ball linebackers that are great in coverage. I mean, they've barely existed, you know, in the NFL in the same way that Corey Littleton does. Like, he deserves to get paid almost like an edge rusher. everyone values guys who get sacked so much, but there's less Corey Littletons than guys who get 10 sacks like Robert Quinn or something.
We talked to Daniel Jeremiah on yesterday's show about what position groups in this draft class are not so hot, and he mentioned tight end, right?
Yep.
And I think Hunter Henry, it's going to point more to a guy. I think he's going to get a really nice payday for a guy that hasn't done a lot in the league, because when you factor in the draft class and the fact that he has those mouthwatering skills, I imagine a team is going to invest heavily in him.
They're talking about him potentially getting
at 20 on
franchise
list.
Too.
Right, which if he gets tagged, and I think he probably will, then Austin Hooper, who is lower on our list, is just going to make so much money. He's 33rd on our list, which I think is – I have him like slightly higher, but I think that's right. I don't think he's a unique game-breaking talent. He was in a great situation and is a really good plus player, but he's kind of the perfect example of guys who make a killing in free agency, like a slightly better than average starter who's young in the middle of his prime, and but isn't good enough to keep for Atlanta. Like, they could prioritize keeping him, and they have their own issues, and they're not doing it. And he'll get paid like the top tight end in the league.
Can I give you one other just impression of this list? I find, you know, invariably it becomes a bit depressing, because there are players that we, when they were drafted and earlier on in their career, they were lauded, rightfully so, and they changed the game of football. And now I'm looking at Ndamukong Suh at 66 and Gerald McCoy at 68. And those are both below linebacker Blake Martinez. I'm just saying, I get it. That's where, again, well-ranked, but how quickly some of these guys fall off a shelf.
It sucks to get old.
Borderline Hall of Famers, both of them, though. I mean, they've had a great career.
Blake. It's just an odd sight to see Sue and McCoy down at that
yeah,
low.
Yeah, no, you're
this,
right.
This,
it was
exercise.
If anything, some would maybe argue we overrated them, but they were pretty solid players last year for their teams.
Poor Blake Martinez, like the last couple of months of the season, saw his value plummet when he kept chasing after running backs who were trucking over him.
That was your boy. I thought you might do one of the, like, Wes, let's make a stand for Blake Martinez and just overrate him just to stick it in my eye. But we weren't too far away from him. You had him 59th, I had him 69th.
I think that's one of the ones where you have to credit Bob McGinn, the excellent beat writer for the Packers, longtime beat writer, where he was just pointing out week after week that Blake Martinez was getting his butt kicked.
Mark, the inexorable march of time.
Inexorable
march of time. The prison into which all humankind is born.
Whoa.
Right. Why am I wasting podcast moments battling verbally father time?
The sands are draining through the hourglass.
Where else do we want to go? Oh, I have one editorial note I'd like to
Phil
pitch
Spector, take note.
For Phil Spector and the crew. Guys that are very likely to get tagged, how about a little icon next to their name?
I would love
it.
Yep.
And then
love
you don't have to even include it in the blurb. You know, that's addressed with the little badge that's next to their headshot.
I'll go even a step further. Who has his finger on the pulse of tags in this industry more than Greg Rosenthal for the last half decade?
The guy loves it. He lives for this.
Yeah. Greg probably bats about 900 on whether a guy's getting tagged or not, so use that.
So let's hit that.
And they get removed anyways. It is a little messy. You know, they get taken off the list, I think, or they get a little tag. I was pleasantly surprised to see sometimes, like, the guys we disagreed on the most, Wes.
Yeah, and I knew one was coming.
One I loved, because it's one of my favorite players of the last decade, Jason Pierre-Paul. Chris Wessling had it in his top,
just looking at him,
top 20. I had him 45, and I love him, and I thought that was fair. But this is one where, like, I'm glad Wes, you know, dragged JPP up. He was incredible for when he returned last season.
When you're beating the crap out of the quarterback every single game, you need to be in the top 20.
Yeah. One thing with him in the list in general is just, like, you want to give credit to last year, but you don't want to forget, you know, the injuries and the years before that too. But when he's healthy, he's a beast.
Let's see. You have Kenyon Drake, an interesting. He had a really nice season with the Cardinals after that Dolphins trade, down at 48, and it did make me think of, you know, where running backs fit in when it comes to free agency. And then I thought about, oh, what did the 2019 list look like? And I checked out, and there he was, Le'Veon Bell, number one on your list.
That was after a lot of tags got removed.
After all the tags, that's who sat at number one. Who is your highest running back on this list?
Derrick Henry.
Okay, so that makes sense.
He's at number 14.
And that was one we disagreed on. We were pretty lockstep for the top 20 for the most part. But I had Henry about 20th, and Wes had Henry 10th.
Yeah, I was just going by who's the best player. And this is a guy who carried his team really far into the playoffs, and he was their identity. They got their identity from Derrick Henry. That is a good player.
I'd be a little concerned he had however many carries in the playoffs, 85.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair concern.
And he's not great on third downs, but we had him pretty high. I still, think that's pretty high. Melvin Gordon, who, once wanted to be kind of the next Le'Veon Bell, is 35. And I still think when he's right, he's like a top 10 to 12 back, but, man, he's very streaky. He's had some big ups, some big downs in his career.
He could be a nice value buy because he ended up killing his leverage. It was the opposite of what he sought out to do by missing a lot of the season, coming back, not being in shape, and then not playing up to his standards from the year before for a lot of the season. But if he has a full offseason, reports on time, has the chip on his shoulder, maybe he signs a prove-it type deal, he might end up being a guy you can get big value from.
All of that is true. I probably held it too much against him that he was an awful teammate last year, but what can you do?
He's a power back. He can make big plays. I mean, put it this way. I don't think I'm alone saying I'd much rather have him than our number one free agent from last year, Le'Veon Bell. That was a pretty big swing and miss. I mean, don't you guys just bury us a little more for that. I want that.
I like the signing of the time where he went, and it didn't quite work out. Where's Antonio Brown on this list?
Interesting question. We did get asked about that afterwards, and Wes didn't want to put him on at all. And I thought he can't really be signed right now because the investigation's still going underway. Technically, he is a free agent.
He's not on the commissioner exempt list or anything like that.
But they said they're investigating and all the things that he did. It feels like a suspension is coming, so I just thought it wasn't worth it.
I don't want to see him on this list at this point.
No, I don't want to see him on this list, and I'm not going to rank. He's not that valuable if he's crazy. So
If the league gave me clarity that he's suspended 4 games to start the season and he's free to sign with teams, then I would come up with where he should be.
It's great. You sign him, he has like one 100-yard game for a month, and then he drags your team down to the bottom of the standings.
I mean, I guess I understand all that, but like I'm looking at Greg's list, and he had Geno Smith at 130.
Well, that was
and it's
joke.
Like, so Geno's ahead of Antonio Brown in terms
that
of
was,
the free agent market?
That was like literally a bit just for me, Phil Spector, and Wes, because I knew Geno would actually not make the list.
Tell me how Antonio Brown does not have negative value.
You know what? And it's fair. And Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Steelers, made it very clear that the Steelers want nothing to do with him. That ship has sailed. Mm. And the same thing was done when Mike Mayock was asked about it. We're out of the Antonio Brown business. I think he might have burnt his bridge. It's still a little bit crazy to me. And I know he seems like he has legitimate
issues. I think he'll get one
more
shot eventually.
But this guy was arguably the best wide receiver in football. He's still should be in his prime. He's about 30, 31 now, and he's completely out of football, and he's not, like I said, on an exempt list. He's just a guy that's been deemed poison.
Yeah, but I think
I might add.
Yeah, the question is, what does a forward-thinking front office decide to pay him? How do you actually prepare for next season around a personality like that? And is it in the best interest of Antonio Brown to even be part of a football team where there seem to be, multiple black clouds of other issues happening in his actual life?
And do all the women in your city have to leave town when he gets there?
These are all fair questions.
That would be a logistical issue.
I've got one point I do want to make on Geno Smith, which you brought up.
Wow, okay. Circling back.
Yeah, I'm circling back. So two quarterbacks have made it to the divisional round of the playoffs in the last 2 years. Total.
Where are we going with
total.
This?
Okay, two. You want to know who they were?
Who?
Patrick Mahomes and Geno freaking Smith. You bring Geno in, you're going to have a winner. You're going to win a playoff game. Who does Russell Wilson and Philip Rivers look to for guidance? Geno on the sidelines. Hey, what are you seeing, Geno? Oh, yeah.
Correlation.
I mean, Geno Smith's job at this point is to, turn on the VCR in the tape room.
And flip
he made the division around 2 straight years.
Eric Ebron at 63. He was an interesting guy to me. He's a couple of years removed from, what, about 15 touchdowns with Andrew Luck. Disappeared a little bit last year. Maybe in the right situation, he could return to being a big-time red zone threat. He's a guy that's still very young, or youngish.
Your analysis on this list has been on point, Dan, and I agree with you. Everything you said, he is a guy in the right situation who could make you look really good. But what are the odds that he lands in the right situation and his hands don't fail him and he comes up big like he did for that, like, three-month stretch with the Colts when he was on fire? But that three-month stretch is an outlier for his career.
Right, that's the thing, a six-year career and a lot of mental errors. Even in that year, the Colts never quite – fully embraced him as a guy they'd play every snap because they didn't think he was reliable. So he's an interesting pickup, though.
You got Greg the Leg Zuerlein on this list. He is in the 86th spot. We have any other kickers? I just need to be plugged in on this.
Well, Mason Crosby just re-signed, or else he might have made it. So that's not. I think.
Yeah,
that's
Crosby
it.
Was on my. He was in my top 90, I think. But
someone's
got to
snatch Greg the Leg up.
Yeah, you get the nickname. Wes, I have a question for you. What you said you knew this was coming, one player that we disagreed on. I don't think it was JPP.
So no, there was only one that I was really like, come on, Greg. And we talked about okay. him in December, and it was Nick Kwiatkowski, the Bears linebacker, who I had in the top 50. And Greg must
stuff.
Have had like 98 or something. A guy who, when Danny Trevathan went down, Kwiatkowski went in the lineup and just made play after play after play every week.
He's sandwiched in between Sue and McCoy.
Yep.
I put him on my list as just a little love to you. 81. You know, he's a fine backup middle linebacker that came in and made some plays. Not going to go crazy. You like these slow middle linebackers. You put David Mayo on your list. That
Where
was
do
the
you
one
get slow when you
me.
Watch
no,
Nick
no,
Kwiatkowski?
You're right.
Dan, I have a quick quiz for you on the who wrote this blurb.
Ooh.
Now, I know – that when you get to number 80 and Marcus Mariota sitting there,
yeah,
and we hear about the Japanese garden of quarterbacking, the art of quarterbacking, and Mariota's sphinx-like regression regarding footwork, arm strength, and pocket presence. I know Wes wrote that, but then let me hit this one.
Wes
hit you with
that's
this
why
one.
He gets the big bucks.
Number 81,
<He doesn't.
laughs> linebacker Devondre Campbell. Quick blurb, so that kind of threw me off. Is this Wes? Is it Greg? The Falcons once held high hopes for Campbell as an athletic three-down sidekick to Deion Jones, but Robin never stepped out of the shadows to thwart potent offenses with cruel intentions when Batman wasn't around.
Because Greg would never make a Batman and Robin analogy.
Greg would ever do. Have you seen any Batman film or ever watched any vehicle, cartoon or television-wise, of Batman
well, back,
in your life?
Yes, easy. Back in the day, you know, I would see the original Batman, certainly. But Batman Begins, the one with Christian Bale, I believe is actually the last superhero movie I've seen in the theater. It's kind of a slog.
I haven't seen that.
The first one that brought it back.
I
not
mean,
terrible.
These are
Katie Holmes not bringing a lot to the table.
The blurbs are so distinct that there really are this bet your life thing.
Wait, can we go back to the Batman thing a second? those aren't just comic books. Those are Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah, that's why I went and see it, and I'm such a Christian Bale fan.
The Dark Knight is one of the classics of
never seen any of
the 2000s. The Dark Knight Rises was good, not as good. I don't vouch for any of the Marvel stuff, but, I mean, you're coming on Nolan's corner.
I'm not saying it's bad.
You're trying to, like, lump him in with Iron Man 7. It's like, come on.
This will come as no surprise to you, but when I was thinking of this blurb, it was like the 1960s
no,
TV
I figured,
show.
No, I figured you were.
You were Burt Ward.
Yeah.
I watched a little of that grow up. How about the fact that here in 2020, Marcus Mariota's biggest fan over the years buries him. That's Chris Wessling, by the way. Buries him at 108 on his list. I actually put Mariota,
I think, at 101.
In my top 60, just because I thought, well, you don't know, Mariota in a new spot, he'd be top shelf backup at the very worst. And to me, that has a lot of value.
I disagree on the value of a top shelf backup.
I mean, we heard this week that you know, the Browns are excited to bring in Chase Daniel. Give me a break. Backup quarterbacks have value. If Chase Daniel has value, Marcus Mariota has more.
Jimmy Smith, who is 84, four spots below Marcus Mariota, came back about halfway through last year and played really well down the stretch. I'd much rather have Jimmy Smith on my team than Marcus Mariota.
He was someone I buried just because his injuries seem at the point where
– he misses three or four games every year.
Name another player you guys disagreed on, you know, significantly in terms of the placement. Is there another – player that jumps out?
Well, if I rated quarterbacks higher, I think Wes put some of the pass rushers who I like the aging pass rushers, who are more like 1 or 2 year guys higher. He had Robert Quinn quite high, top 30.
I thought that was one of the best years of Robert Quinn's career.
I agree.
He was downright explosive last year.
He was. He's someone where you're looking at the last 4 years and has, like Ebron, as he put together long stretches where he's great. I put him 50, 51. But, man, there's a lot of those guys. If you need someone for a year or two that can sack the quarterback, there are a lot of players available.
What are you guys doing taking my man Mario Addison, who I went to Italy and Germany with, and sticking him down at number 100?
Ooh.
Just disrespect.
Well, he's 32.
That's a sign of respect, putting him on the list.
Well, I will say this, though. It's not like he vanished for the past 3 years. He's been productive.
Yeah.
Last year was
not his best
season.
He might be a little underrated on this list. I think you're right,
Mark. That's a fair quibble. And I think one of the tricky things with pass rushers, how do you rank the guys who get sacks but not hits or hurries? And it seems like every time Mario Addison gets to a quarterback, he takes him down, but he's not causing a lot of disruption on the other downs.
All right. So that's cool. We're having a great talk, and we're going to, you know, get back to it in a second. But, Mark, I think it's only fair that we get the Jaws treatment as well.
Take us to the stormy waters.
Because while...
It's just a brain fart.
While the scientists were in the lab, Mark and I were up in the kitchen. And we weren't making eggs. Actually, Mark wasn't making anything. Mark called creme brulee before we started today burnt-looking cheese.
Well, it did.
It's a very standard dessert. That's beside the point. As we have long teased, we have put together our version of the top 101. Yeah, Flames, you heard it. Hanzeus and Mr. Fancy Pants, our top 101 of 2020, free agency. Mark, take it away.
Well, it does not arrive without controversy.
I think that's very fair.
Because, you know, I spent half the morning reading through your list and looking at your work, and then I went back and cross-checked.
You got a little deja vu, didn't you?
Well, I did. Yeah. I cross-checked your list with the list that Dan and I made up in the kitchen. And this, to me, is either the most stunning thing that's ever happened in the history of list-making in sports
writing.
Those
are just coincidences.
Or something very dark has occurred. But our list was, from head to toe, identical.
Whoa.
Save for.
Just one spot.
One spot. You guys have Bills turned Eagles cornerback Ronald Darby at number 73 and Carlos Hyde at number 74. Dan and I, on our list, the only discernible difference that I could detect, had Carlos Hyde at 73 and Ronald Darby
at
74.
That's ridiculous, though. ridiculous.
Dan, what conclusion did we come to?
I mean, Carlos Hyde had a really nice season, not a superstar season, but I just think with Darby and his injury issues with the knee, I thought Hyde was just the guy. He was at 73, and it just makes it a better list,
I believe. You and I had a nice conversation about that before we flipped it, but you won me over with your, you know, Hyde sort of comeback story, and I thought, yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's time for me and Greg to take a long, hard look in the mirror.
And we're not saying that.
So you were the same. You had DJ Reader, 29.
No,
you had Javarne Hargrave, 31. Everything else was the same.
No, there was a period where Dan and I were not in the office for a couple days, and I missed this. I should not have done this. This is on me. But I printed out our list, and I put it on Dan's list to look at when he came in, and then he had a family issue and couldn't be in there for a day or two. And then suddenly, bang, Ali Bonparty publishes your guys' list that looks just like ours, and ours is not even put on the website. So I don't want to connect, you know, a billion dots
Ali
here.
Who is Ali Bonparty?
Ali Bonparty.
Phil Spector,
so, you know, I am just saying that I
– Let's just leave it there and let the lawyers take the baton.
Murky.
Surprising you guys both – you had Holly Puluvati Vitae, 87th.
That was a no-brainer.
That's
actually where we started
one.
Our list, and then we worked our way in each direction. Last game, Mark, for the Who Wrote the Blurb. It's a tough one. Number 36, my boy Robbie Anderson, Deep speed gets paid, and Anderson has plenty of it. He often disappointed his Jets coaches, however, and is too talented to have fewer than 800 yards in each of the last two seasons.
Well, Greg. Greg has a lot of specialties. One of them is he is very, when it comes to these players, focused on the money they'll make and the income and the earnings and the year over year. So the minute I heard gets paid, I went Greg. I could be wrong, but it's also a nice brief.
That's a good call.
Clipped blurb.
If you dive a little deeper into the subtext here, could be a little risky. That's all I'm saying. Mm.
I think Greg.
I don't know where you're going
Greg
with that
is
one.
More pithy than I am.
Is that correct?
You're saying, oh, the guy with the last name Rosenthal, all he cares about is money.
That's where you're going with it.
But Mark is wearing a Star of David necklace right now as we speak.
I mean, when it comes to player contracts, Wes says he doesn't understand time management scenarios. I also do not. But I also do not do much when it comes to contracts.
Is Mark right, yes or no?
I'm right.
Of course he's right. Robbie Anderson could be – well, he's not as highly ranked as Le'Veon Bell a year ago, but we might have he's a boomer bust guy. Either he'll be like a terrific pickup or he'll be a total disaster. Don't you think, Dan?
He needs to land in the right place.
He's on the knucklehead list.
And he kept his nose clean last year, but if you do some research on his past, give him a lot of money, how's he going to handle it? You don't know. These guys, you got to worry about certain guys that have the history.
Like if it was my team and you have the choice between Emmanuel Sanders and Robbie Anderson, obviously they provide two very different skill sets, but I'm just taking Emmanuel Sanders and not worrying about the risk of Robbie Anderson.
I think that's fair.
All right, final thoughts, final takeaways on the free agency top 101 list of 2020.
Well, now my number one takeaway is that we need to put a franchise tag symbol by these guys like you suggested.
That's good.
But I do think if you look at this list, the original list before the tags come in, you look at front seven on defense and say it's pretty loaded. That's where you can get help this year.
Even after the tags come in, I think you're right, because those guys that we mentioned, JPP, Quinn, Everson Griffin, Dante Fowler, the guys that aren't the top shelf guys, there's like depth there where those are above average quality starters. And like we just went through tight ends, and it takes like one name till you get to at tackle. It's like a couple names. It's Brian Bulaga, maybe. Whereas pass rushers, defensive linemen like Hargrave and DJ Reader, who I like a lot, you can find some of those.
And my last takeaway, just taking one more glance at it, is Jadeveon Clowney. He has a chance to be paid as much as anyone on this list.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think
I guess we'll see. And we know the analysis, and I see you guys went with this angle. A lot of people do. Like, what he does doesn't always show up in the box score. But if the Seattle Seahawks aren't going after him aggressively, a team that desperately needs a pass rush, and they decide we're going to just buy two guys instead of paying for Clowney, I mean, I would just be a little wary. Like, the Giants have been connected to Clowney. I guess some people see that. Giving that guy all that money when statistically – health-wise, he hasn't always put it together.
Well, he had a three-sack season. Three sacks. But
he could be the highest-paid player in the league.
He might make more than Aaron Donald. It's possible.
He falls
Seattle wants him back. They said they did. Well,
right.
If you believe him.
He falls under that Parcells planet theory. There's only so many people on the planet that have this guy's athleticism and body.
Back-to-back. Clowney at four.
Biggest risk on this list to me.
I know this sounds like a broken record, but Shaq Barrett at five, they're going to pay him. He's probably going to
let it go, Mark.
No, he'll probably stay right in Tampa Bay.
This is not a good look.
But does it ever concern you?
This is not a good look.
No. Does it ever concern you when a player has like one huge breakout season, and then do you just say, we assume that's the way the future is going to happen? I hope it is. I think he found a great landing spot, and it works.
There was like a 8-week window where he had about three sacks, I believe. And then he just went nuts in the beginning of the end of the season. It was his real first big breakout year. So I get what you're saying. But you have a lot of history.
The tag could work. The tag could work for him.
It is a fair comment.
You factor in a lot of things.
Tag works.
You factor in a lot of things with these guys, and that's one thing you factor in. But then you also offset that a little bit by saying when he was in Denver, he was behind Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and he was still getting pressure when he was coming off the bench. So he was a guy who was disruptive even when he was a rotational guy.
There you go.
And one last one is just man, Bill Belichick has a chance to just sweep out this whole era. Not just Tom Brady, which would be the way to really do it, but Van Noy, Devin McCourty, Jamie Collins, Stephen Gostkowski, I think, could get cut and end up at the back end of this list, or maybe not even. But he could get cut. There's just a lot of chances here. A lot of big names. Like Kyle Van Noy, I don't know what value he has to other teams. Skarnecchia, he's here in Indianapolis.
He'll be back on that coaching staff in 6 weeks.
I saw that damn
Can't wait for one of these Belichick disciples to sign Kyle Van Noy, and then he has like 2 sacks and 13 tackles next year.
Thank you.
And I do like the Patriots saying, let's sweep out the entire team after we went 12-4. You know. It's untenable that we lost.
Well,
it's in the playoffs.
More just it's natural. They're kind of an old team, and
I love the
it's
reaction.
Time to reboot a little bit.
All right, great job, boys. Whew. You did it. Mark and I did it as well.
I think we initially did it, and then you know, here comes the bells and whistles for these guys. But that's fine.
The celebration,
it's a dog and pony show.
I really thought we were so high on Shelby Harris that was a unique take from both of us. But you guys had
the exact same
Dan
was actually
what was it you liked about Shelby Harris's play?
I mean, Dan, you were pouring orange juice when you mentioned that. So,
tremendous motor. All right, check it out. NFL.com/top101 free agents.
That's right.
And good work, guys.
Thank you.
We will be back on Monday. We'll be back in Los Angeles as well with a full week of three shows every week through the draft. So we continue that new trend. And thank you to everybody for listening. And we are now getting on an airplane. Smell you later. I'm going to work that in. That's going to be like the new sign-off.
Smell you later.
Yeah. Do you think that has legs? Dan Hansen signing off for the mailman, Quiet Storm, the old boss, and Rick Hollywood on the carpet. Till Monday.